Well, folks, this morning, this Christmas Eve morning, we're going to wrap up our sermon series that we've been in over the last 3 weeks, and this series called Song of the Seasons, and we're going to take a look at Simeon's Nunc Dimittis. We've looked at Mary's Magnificat, Zechariah's Benedictus, we looked at the angel's Gloria, and today we're looking at Simeon's Nunc Dimittis. And something that they all focus on is a unique aspect of the salvation that we can have because of Emmanuel, God with us. Simeon's song, his Nunc Dimittis, is a very personal love song. It's a song of joy because he sees ancient promises realized. Lloyd Stille rightly describes this song as a song of dramatic transformation, foretelling the upheaval of culture, the ending of deep divisions, and the stunning truth about ourselves that comes to the surface when Jesus is near. When Jesus is near you, when you're drawing near to him, what comes to the surface? Simeon's song is rightly named as the Nunc Dimittis, which is Latin for now release. That's what it means. The first words of Simeon's song are the Greek words nun apoluo in the Greek. Now these two words come together to mean now I'm ready to depart. That's what this means. He is so overcome with joy. His love has been complete when he encounters Christ. And he says, I'm ready to depart. My love is full. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now, maybe you came this morning and didn't bring a Bible with you. That's all right. Should be one in the chair in front of you or beside you. Make sure you grab it. Turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And if you don't own a Bible, Merry Christmas. It's our gift to you this morning. We just ask that you'd be in it each day. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. I want you to follow along. I'll read it for us. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem. Now, history and tradition kind of says that Simeon was an old man, gray beard, punched over. Scripture never tells us that. We don't know that, okay? He may have been a young guy, may have been an older guy. We don't know. All Scripture tells us is there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. That's what we know. He was a righteous man. He was a devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw Jesus. That's what it's saying. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Like any parent would, we would be so proud. Listen to what they're saying about my boy. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul. It's been 40 days since the birth of Jesus. And now Mary and Joseph are bringing him to the temple to be presented to the Lord. Now just think about it for a moment. Have you ever thought about that? They're bringing Jesus to be presented before the Lord. The Lord is coming to be presented to the Lord. Just let that run through your mind. There was nothing out of the ordinary in Mary and Joseph's visit to the temple. This is what custom called for, yet it caught the attention, it caught the eye of a particular man named Simeon, one who was devout, one who was righteous, one who had the Holy Spirit of God upon him. Like I said, we don't know a lot about Simeon's background, but we do know about his character. He is described as a righteous man, which means that he was considered a man full of God-honoring actions. That's what he was known for. The word is primarily focused towards one's conduct with other people. So Simeon was known for his godly conduct toward others. He's called devout. He was careful about his religious observances, which was a big deal in the Jewish community. He was a faithful temple goer, which means he regularly met with God. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What that means is that he took the prophets at their word. He believed God's word. It meant something to him. It wasn't just something he read in his pastime. It was something that he devoured, that he dove into. And he was looking for the coming Messiah, believing that it was going to happen. Not passively. He was attentive. He was a man deeply influenced and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. There was something about him that indicated the special manifestation of the presence of the Spirit in his life. And from an Old Testament perspective, Simeon was a model of godliness. He kept the law inwardly, and he lived it outwardly. He looked for the Messiah, and the very presence of God was in his life. When I pass, when my days come, I hope people will remember character more than accomplishments. I hope they'll remember character more than accomplishments. Because Simeon was so devoted to God, his first thought upon seeing the Christ child is that he's now ready to die. It's been fulfilled. The word dismiss is a military word. It's a word used to describe a sentinel who has stood his ground and carried out his guard duty all night. His work is done, and he's now relieved by the next soldier. Once dismissed, all he wants to do is go and rest. He's tired. That's the way I believe Simeon felt. The long wait's over. The years of anticipation have been fulfilled. His sentry duty is finished. It's over. He's seen and he's personally held the Christ child. It's complete. And notice what really captures my attention about this song is how Simeon's song describes Jesus all throughout. And it's a love song. It's a song of love and joy and compassion. He affectionately says, Jesus is the glory of Israel. In verse 32, Simeon calls him the glory of Israel. In this baby, Simeon sees the fulfillment of all the hopes and dreams of the Jewish people across all the centuries. To call Jesus the glory of Israel takes us back to the Old Testament, folks. It takes us back to a time of Abraham. It echoes the blessing that God bestowed on Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. When God said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. After that, this blessing was reaffirmed to Isaac and then to Jacob. Still later, God told Moses that one day a great prophet would come who would be unlike any other prophet before him. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 18. It says, I will rise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. Still later, God promised David a son who would reign on the throne forever. That wasn't Solomon. It was Jesus. Still later, God spoke through Isaiah and promised that a son would be born of a virgin and that his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And still later in the Old Testament, Micah predicted that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. For generations, the promises were handed down. They were repeated over and over again, from father to son, from mother to daughter, from family to family, older to younger. Jewish children were taught to pray for the Messiah's appearance. They were excited about this birth. Some Jews thought the Messiah would be a great political leader who would overthrow Rome, and I think people are still looking for that today. Some thought that he would restore Israel to its rightful place in the world. Others thought the Messiah would be God himself. Still, others expected a second Moses or an Elijah. So you had a lot of confusion mixed in with general sense of expectation. Now, after all these years, all God's promises are coming true. And this babe, wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger, being carried to a temple. And that's what Simeon means when he calls Jesus the glory of Israel. As the song says, the hopes and fears of all the years were met in thee tonight. This is Simeon's love song. And like all the songs of the season that we've looked at so far, this love song acknowledges that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, Christmas is all about salvation. We've talked about that. But Simeon takes this a step further. Simeon calls Jesus, this child, a light of revelation for the Gentiles. Now, this is a completely new thought. You won't find this in the other songs of Christmas. Mary's song is completely Jewish. She thinks in Jewish terms, expresses her thoughts in Jewish ways. The Gentiles are nowhere in view. The same is true of Zechariah. The angel's song broadens the viewpoint by mentioning that there is peace on earth, goodwill toward men, but nowhere in any of the previous songs are the Gentiles mentioned by name until we get to Simeon. Simeon explicitly says that this baby will not only be the glory of Israel, his own people, he will also be the light of revelation for the Gentiles. So he's not just for Israel. He didn't just come for their benefit. He came to shine a light of revelation of God. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, he says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and no, it's not Romans 12, 2, but another favorite one of mine, Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, the Jews couldn't say, he belongs to us and you can't have him. Nor could they say, you have to become a Jew to enjoy the benefits of knowing the Messiah. No. Doubtless that's what some Jews expected, but Simeon's words explode forever that narrow nationalism mindset. He's the Savior of the whole world. Listen, he's the Savior of the rich and the poor, of the young and the old, of the black and the white, of the Jew and the Gentile. He's the Savior from America to Zimbabwe, the healthy and the handicapped. He is their Savior. All people are included in his coming. He didn't come for a small group. He came for the whole wide world. Red, yellow, black, and white. Remember? They're precious in his sight. Jesus' own testimony of himself and his mission is laid out for us in one of the most well-known verses of Scripture in the world. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he did what? He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That means there is hope for you at Christmas. Because of Christmas, there is hope for every person here. If you're lonely, Simeon's song includes you. If your family's rejected you, Simeon's song includes you. If you feel forgotten, depressed, discouraged, maybe down on your luck, be of good cheer because Simeon's song is for you. Christmas is for you. Whatever sins are holding you back this year, Christmas, the idea, the purpose of Christmas means that you can be forgiven because Jesus came for you. This is Simeon's love song. And this song of love, in it, we see that Jesus divides the human race. Well, wait a minute, we're supposed to love one another. Yes, but there is a division when you talk about the Savior of the world. And it would be irresponsible to talk about Simeon's Nunc Dimittis if we don't talk about all of it. The child's father and mother, they marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon, he blessed them. And he said to Mary, his mother, he said, "This child, man, he is destined to cause the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This song of love, this song of joy and anticipation, turns to a song of horror and fear. He is the great divider of men. None of us really want to be considered divisive, but the text tells us he will cause many to fail. He will cause many to rise, and many will speak against him. And in speaking against him, the hidden thoughts of the heart will be revealed. Nothing hurts more to a parent than to have their child spoken ill of. That hurts deeply. What a thing to say about a tiny baby. "Mary, I know you're happy now. Your son's going to be the glory of Israel. He's going to be the light of revelation for the Gentiles. But you're going to weep later. You're going to be sorrowful. Today your heart's filled with joy. Later it'll be filled with sorrow. Rejoice and enjoy this time because dark days are coming." Isn't it true that if you're a parent, worst thing that can happen is to see your children suffer? Most of us will do anything to spare our children needless pain. We'll gladly suffer in place of our children. I've heard many parents say, "I wish I could take that disease on. I wish I could carry their cancer and they were cancer-free. I wish I could carry their infirmities and let them be free. I wish I could carry on their mental incapacities and let them be free. I wish I was the target of my son or daughter's bullying instead of them." See, that's what it means to be a mom or dad. You take the pain yourself, so your children won't have to. What are we? Children of God. What did God do? He took it all on himself. What we are incapable of doing, God is capable of doing. He can take on all of that, all of your hurt. Simeon is saying, "Mary, they're going to touch your child in a way that is going to cause pain, and you won't be able to do anything about it. They're going to hate him. They're going to lie about him. They'll spread rumors about you and Joseph. They'll smear his name with lies, and you'll have to stand by and watch it. You'll have to watch it all play out." And down the road, it all came true. Eventually, they questioned not only his lineage, but also his mental ability. They snickered and said, "He thinks he's the Son of God, but he's just filled with demons." In the end, hatred took full control. And they arrested Jesus, put him on trial as a blasphemer. They beat him within an inch of his life, leaving his skin shredded like ribbons. After the trial, he was condemned to die. In the end, Mary stood by the cross and watched her son die an agonizing, brutal, bloody, inhumane death. Amid the stench and gore of crucifixion, Mary stood by her son, unable to stop the flow of blood, unable to wipe his brow, unable to hold his hand, unable to give him a hug. She stood there. It all happened exactly as Simeon had predicted. When Mary watched her son die, a sword pierced her soul. Above the cradle stands a cross. This little baby was born to die, to show the love of God for all mankind. You notice how Simeon put it? Because of Jesus, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. With Jesus, there is no neutrality. No one can ever come face to face with Jesus Christ and remain the same. Every time you see Jesus, you will either be drawn closer to him or you'll move farther away. That's your options. That's what Simeon means when he says that Jesus will cause the rising of many and the falling of many. You either go higher spiritually when you meet Jesus, or you turn around and go the other way. Listen, God is a jealous God. He's not jealous of us, as Oprah thinks, but he's jealous for us. He knows he is the best thing we could ever experience. Simeon is essentially saying there are only two classes of people in the world, those who believe in Jesus Christ and those who don't. And there's no middle ground. There's no fence to straddle. A lot of people acknowledge Jesus as a good teacher, a good person, a great moral example, and so on. Simeon saying, hey, you can't do that. You have to make up your mind about Jesus Christ. Either he is the Son of God from heaven, or he's not. If he's not, then he's the greatest fraud in human history. If he's not the Son of God, then he's either a liar or he's crazy. But if he is the Son of God, then the only possible response is to bow down and worship him. At Christmas time, you have two options regarding Christ. Either join with Herod in trying to kill him, or you join the wise men, since we're so far from this. You join the shepherds. You bow down and you worship. And there's nothing in between. One question I really want you to wrestle with today. Who is Jesus to you? I'm not talking historical figure. Talking personal Savior. Who is he to you? Is he your Lord? Is he a liar? Just some crazy guy. He's either life or death, joy or sorrow. He's either guilt or forgiveness, salvation or condemnation. But you must answer, who is Jesus? This little baby, who is the glory of Israel, who is the light of the world, is also the great divider of the human race. You're either on one side or the other. Simeon's love song answers the question of who this baby is for the entire human race. Jesus is God in flesh. His death would not have been sufficient to pay the penalty for the sins if he were not. The Apostle John said, he is the atoning, listen to this, He is the atoning sacrifice. He's the payment sacrifice, the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Only God could pay such an infinite penalty. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus had to be God so that he could pay our debt. Jesus had to be man so he could die. Salvation is available only through faith in Christ. Jesus' deity is why he is the only way of salvation and why he himself proclaimed, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." This is the true meaning of Christmas. And this song of the season announces a truth that invites all to have a very Merry Christmas.